Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
And I'm Matthew Provins. And today we have with us SimsMTG. How about you say hi, man?
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Hey. Thank you for being here. It's awesome to have you here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Sims, we've got another Magic the Gathering content creator with us. Thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Oh, of course. No problem.
Yeah. So I want to go right into the swing of things today with Zendikar Rising. Just the pre-release just happened. People are playing it on Arena. But most of the West Coast paper boxes have been delayed because of a multitude of things, like one of the big five distributors dropped out. And then now we had the fires here in California, so a lot of the shipping has been delayed. And so I wanted to apologize to our YouTube watchers. I won't really be able to have any boxes until later this week, or maybe even early next week is when we'll have to wait until.
Yeah, I've been putting on Magic the Gathering Arena videos just as fillers lately. You know, I kind of went on the Facebook group a week ago and said I wasn't going to put any more Magic the Gathering Arena videos up there, but you know, I didn't want to leave anybody high and dry. So, I mean, what do you think about that, Matt? You think that was a good idea to do that for the last couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, we promise content, so we have to continue giving content.
Right.
Even if it's, you know, not the best that week that, you know, it's possible. We just got to be patient. Mm-hmm. Wait until these darn boxes come in, because trust me, I put money into these, and I'm definitely waiting on these too.
Now, as a man of my word, we finally have the image coming in two more days. So that's going to complete the full cycle. I like to think of it as for the website that we have, which is already done and built. And we are just waiting on that image. And now we can put the image on our clothing, like the hoodies and the book bags, the t-shirts, the shoes, the, you know.
Yeah, once we get that logo up, I'll be putting the website live. We'll be releasing it onto all the different Facebook groups that I'm a part of. And speaking of releasing things, I just recently started a Kickstarter for Cryptic Commander 3D printed deck boxes. You heard that right. We are 3D printing deck boxes now. And the Kickstarter is so we can get some more funding to get more 3D printers, hopefully a laser engraver too, if we get to that level of funding. But we need you to be on our side with us. For each level of funding that you can help us with, there are prizes for each one. And you can go to Kickstarter and just look up Cryptic Commander deck boxes. Should be the first thing that pops up. And, you know, we just really need your support. And I'm getting one in the mail very soon. So I'm going to actually put up a YouTube video kind of like reviewing our prototype and going over the functions of it, the sizing of it, how much it weighs, how durable it is, things like that. And one of the very few things that I really can release and give you guys information on is that we're going to be able to do the colors of all the different guilds. And so you're going to be able to like mix and match red and blue, black and green, however you want to mix and match the lid of your deck box and the deck box itself. So I think that's a super awesome thing that we're going to be able to do. What do you guys think?
That's not bad for a first run too. Well, my question would be the pictures I saw, I can't wait for this YouTube video to find out if it's going to be unsleeved cards or we can put sleeve cards in there.
Yeah, so the nice thing about 3D printing is that we can change the size to whatever we want it to with hardly any effort putting into it. So if, you know, during the video I find out, you know, hey, can't fit sleeved cards in here very well, well, I just talked to my designer, who, by the way, is Uncle Russ. Go check him out on Twitch if you haven't heard of him. He's awesome. He does charity streams too, and he's helping us design these deck boxes. He's a huge part of this. Couldn't do without him.
Moving on to page 3, Sims, I want to bring your attention up here on this. You play a lot of Magic the Gathering Arena, right?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay. And when did you start playing Magic the Gathering, period?
Oh, I started playing, I think my first time I ever played, like when I saw cards, was around like Urza's, but I didn't actually play competitive until Odyssey.
That was my next question.
10. When you started. I was 11 or something. I was went into an LGS and they gave me I had a deck and it was really bad, and then they gave me Blue Green Madness. Mm-hmm. And so I really much like tempo like counter decks like that because of that deck. So that was my first exposure to an actual competitive deck. And before that, I was playing like Craw Worms. I thought Craw Worms was really good. But who didn't think Crawworm was good? If you didn't think Crawworm was a good creature, you obviously didn't play enough Magic when you're younger, because that was I thought that card was just so good. It was a 6/4 for 6. How do you beat that?
Oh, come on. Green Stompy. So that was my next question, is when you became competitive, you know. And now you are really on the expert level. Am I understanding that correct?
Yeah. Actually, if we want to talk, I actually remember the first time that I ever kind of crossed over into the, I guess, more like competitive professional zone was for it was a Grand Prix trial, and I made a mono black, like it was a Time Spiral block. So I didn't really win much until I would top eight at PTQs, but I never actually like closed out anything. And so until then, I was just, you know, biding my time, trying to learning the game. And then I made a mono black deck. Like, it was a rack deck. And it was just very meta for the time. But I ended up beating Matt Nass twice in the tournament to qualify, and then beat him for the finals. And like, and that's kind of when I realized, like, oh, maybe I'm actually like pretty good at this game. And then after that tournament, he gave me 3 buys for a Grand Prix San Francisco. And there I day two'd. And then I got like top 30, and that, I think it was top 30 at that time, you qualify for the next pro tour. And that was the first Grand Prix I ever played in. I had a broken arm, and so the judges had to shuffle my deck for me. But I was like 13 years old, so they felt bad. They were just genuine, like, oh, that's, I feel bad for this kid. But I think by like round 16, this judge just hated me. He was like, he was my lucky judge. Every time he shuffled my deck, he just gave me an arm. So I needed him next to me.
Wow. So it would be safe to say, for the rest of this entire podcast, for our listeners' sake, that if it comes to a decision that somebody should believe anybody between the three of us, it would probably be you, with your experience of you. Let's just say on an expert level, if we have any questions come up or opinions come up, yours would probably be the ultimate say-so on this episode. I've been playing the game since 93. I became what you would call professional in 2007. So even though I started in 93, I was a late bloomer. I'm not really the fastest, quickest learner. You understand? I don't know. Yeah. I don't net deck a lot. But what I'm saying is, we get a lot of people.
I have a hard time doing that too.
Yeah. We get a lot of people coming on the podcast that are, you know, celebrities and people that are other content creators. But I just want to let everybody know on today's episode what level we're at for the listeners. But when it comes to Magic the Gathering Arena, there's been some glitches lately. And most notably would be the last update. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. That is, I mean, the biggest glitch that I see is that you constantly, every time if you go out of a tier and you rank up, if you switch to another game mode, you constantly rank up the moment every time you're done with it. So I ran a tournament today, and I was watching people's streams or their screens, and every single time this guy won, he ranked up, or lost, he ranked up. And I mean,
wow!
It took me also. I mean, how long did it take you to log on the other day?
Hold on, I want to say something though. I want to say something. Something happened to me on Arena today, and I did not go to different modes because I only play one mode. And the same thing happened to me. I lost. I was at work though. I was at work while I was doing the game, and then I had gotten a sale. And I can't really focus on the game. I got to focus on the sale, you know? So I quit playing the game, got the sale, and then the game crashed, and I won.
Huh.
Really?
Really.
That's...
So, I mean, I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to exit out and go back in.
No, I think. I mean, I think this whole new update's just not... it's not working too well.
For me, I think the first 18 hours after the update, it was a lot of black screens, and at one, some Facebook groups, I see an image of, you can stack the deck, there's a brass man. Have you seen these images?
I have not.
I've seen
Matt, you
have? You know, it's been very interesting. People have been able to, like, there was like a button, somebody was able to choose the rank.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was really funny. I was like, this dude put himself on like top tier Mythic. And then he played and like lost a bunch because his deck sucked. But
no way. That's hilarious. So
there's not only pictures of this going around, but there's video images of people on their laptops. And then, oh man, they pull up their phone and they record it. And it's exactly what I'm imagining here. It's a wireframe outlook. It looks like a beta Magic the Gathering arena. And it's just wireframe. It's a black screen with white boxes. Can you help me explain that? Yeah.
Then they really dropped the ball on this update. Well,
They did.
What I want to say is, WotC, if you're listening to this, WotC developers, please test your stuff before you put it into the public.
It's not them. It's the company they have outsourced doing that project. You know, I forget the label of the company who does Magic the Gathering Arena, but it's that company.
Those developers should be testing it. I mean, it goes for any type of software. I mean,
They're trying to push mobile too, guys. They're trying to push mobile. You know, they want it out before the end of the year. I keep telling the listeners, just look out by February. They want to push it out quick, but it's not going to happen. You got so many hurdles. I don't even want to get into that topic, you know. But you got the MacBooks, they just got it on there too. So they're trying to get it on a lot of different places. I think too soon is probably what the problem is.
They need to test their software more often, you know. They actually need to go in there and figure out all the issues after compiling. Debug everything before putting it into the public and not. Because that's something that Android used to do, just as an example. Yeah. What Android likes to do is, without doing a lot of testing, they like to put new updates to the public and allow the public to tell them the issues, because it basically gives them less work to do. If somebody pinpoints the exact issue for them, they can go in there and fix it easy peasy.
I was just thinking that they I feel like they just don't have enough people. They're just trying to spread people too thin, and they just end up like the developers are constantly probably having to develop a new set, and I feel like they just need to like slow their roll a little bit and just focus on higher quality products. But that's just, I think, a different conversation. Like,
what I'm interested in.
It is. Yeah, but I agree with that, though. I agree with that. It is a different conversation, budget. But I agree.
Yeah. What I'm interested in is the budget that they put into the software development for Arena.
Yes. And I mean, probably would be terrified to see it. It's probably not anything that we expect, but.
Yeah. Well, it might be a big number, but it's probably half of what it should be.
Yes, I agree.
I bet that team that's working on it would agree too, guys. Also, on the same topic, Uro ban. There's a lot of hot. It's a hot topic. Ban Uro. It's not me. It's not me saying it. It's all over the streets and it's all over the local game stores. It's over the internet. What do you guys think that almost every week we're talking about? People screaming about Uro. What do you guys think? I don't think it's that big of a deal to me. Every deck I make in standard, I work my way around Uro. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to be that one guy and say build around it, because there's pretty much always a way. Uro in itself is one card. Yes, it can combo off, but Growth Spiral was banned, right? So that was really the only thing that was making Uro like over the top overpowered.
Yeah, Growth Spiral was banned?
Wasn't it? Pretty sure. Right, Sims?
Yeah, it's banned. I think, yeah, it was banned in standard. They banned it in standard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was banned in standard. Yeah. Because I remember like thinking a couple weeks before then, I was like, Rose Spiral, I mean, by itself doesn't seem that powerful. But when you match it up with something like Uro, that's what powers the overpowering of the card was Growth Spiral itself. And that's why they banned it.
Like Felidar Guardian of Saheeli.
I just don't think the card's just like bannable. It's just not that impressive. I don't see. Yeah, exactly. It's good, but it's like the people that are, I think, that say you're banned just don't want to. They just get beaten by the decks like that because they require a little more skill. They're probably playing best of one, and they just get housed by an Uro because they're playing a red deck and they have no answer for it, and they don't realize it's sideboarding.
Here's
very dealable card.
I think maybe we're doing a disservice to everybody out there that we need here on the podcast to start coming up with a way of helping people out with deck techs, because I'm thinking the issue is what you just said, Sims. It's the people of a lower level. And
yeah,
there's people. Okay. The way I explain this, because when I go to like my family reunions or whatnot, and then somebody's like, let's play a game of Magic. Now, are they playing just so they entertain me? Or are they playing because they enjoy? Now, when I beat them, they're always saying John always wins. He bends the rules. And no, I don't. I know the rules. Now there's somebody out there that beats me, and I'm almost done here, but there's somebody out there that beats me. And believe it or not, there's people who beat him. And then, believe it or not, there's people who beat them, you know?
But then there's me. Always win. Just kidding.
You said you always win?
No, you can't always win.
Yeah. No, you can't always win. No, I'm not always going to win. And like
unless
I said,
you're
Luis.
I guess Shahar Shenhar. Yeah, Luis Scott Vargas. It's only times where he's like, I'm gonna ask him, how many dice rolls you won today? And he's like, 14. How many games you are? How many? I'm 14 to know. I'm like, oh, makes sense. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's luck, but it's also you got to play to your luck. You make your own luck half the time in this game. Yeah. But it takes to win big tournaments. You got to kind of luck out for a little bit.
Now I do post not to cut you off. I do post videos on the YouTube for the Cryptic Commander that it's just me playing. So if anybody wants to see the secret techniques and way that I'm using the cards that are in standard, by all means, we're not getting but 2 views on those videos. So I'm playing the game over there, and I've had one person reach out to me. Wow, I didn't know you can do this in response and all that, you know. So they can use the videos I'm making at least as a learning tool, right?
Yeah. Well, I know that viewers have gone to me and been like, I learned a lot about how to run like the lines of decks. Cause like they'll play a deck that they play, and then they'll see me play the same deck that I'll randomly just like, I'll sometimes just showcase the best decks in standard, like all day long. I'll just play like 5 of the best decks, and they'll learn lines that they have, they couldn't figure out themselves. They didn't know. And they said like just little things. And I always stress on my stream, just main phase 2, like just play stuff main phase 2. Don't play stuff main phase 1. Like, yep. I'll always say, we don't do that in my stream. Like, I always say that. It's like kind of a mantra, just cause like that's something that was built into my head, is just don't play your spells if you don't have to. Right. Play them on the second main phase. Don't give away your information. But actually, the more about Uro, I'm looking at a top 8 of this tournament. There's 3 of the decks have Uro, but I mean 4 of the decks have Lucky Clover. So I don't really think the card's that oppressive. And it looks like the decks that were beating it, like Mono Red in best of 3, still beats it didn't lose a game. You build the right mono red list and learn how to play the deck right and learn your meta, and build your sideboard. You could beat almost anyone in this meta with mono red. And
I'm playing mono blue and I'm beating them. You know,
right? Like, it's not, the card is very like just seen everywhere in some of the best decks. And yes, like it sometimes when you play against, you're like, wow, this card just destroyed me.
Once you realize what it is, though, it's just mana ramp. That's all it is. It's just mana ramp.
Yep.
So if they're afraid of mana ramp, it's like, well then. You just haven't learned how to play against it properly. There's different
decks, and I mean,
right?
I mean, I think the main thing that people are worried about is having Hushbringer out, which is a card that stops activated abilities or ETB effects, right, Sims?
Okay.
It's pretty much unplayable because of Uro.
Yeah, and so, well, the thing is that when you play Hushbringer, you play Uro, the Earl effect doesn't trigger, and so it's a 6/6 for 3 mana.
Oh yeah.
Because it doesn't die.
Yeah.
And so that's the main thing. But playing white, green, and blue, and playing white just for Hushbringer, to me, in my brain, I'm thinking that's not really that reliable. And so people see this and they're like, oh, this is overpowered. But they don't realize how, you know, this is something that doesn't happen that often.
I sit at home. I play Magic the Gathering Arena constantly, constantly. Now, I'm a guy who goes out of my way to go to the local game store, and especially the Lotus Lookout, the one that, you know, sponsors the show. And I go out of my way to go to a card shop just to play the physical game. And the Magic the Gathering Arena exclusive cards that are in standard on Magic the Gathering Arena, one today was played against me. It was Mono Black. The guy put down a 5/5 creature for 3 mana, and it said, discard a card as you play this. That was the only catch. That was the only catch. And the guy proceeded to beat me because the next turn he gave it flying, +8/+8. Sure. You know, it's like, are you serious? You know, you're going to make it flying and give it +8? Okay, game over. You know, that's how quick it was. Turn 4 or something. And what do you think about those Magic the Gathering Arena exclusive cards that are not...
I just figured out they existed the other day.
Yeah.
They're some of them are, I just, they didn't really announce them. I wish they would announce exactly when they'd add things to the game like that, because it'd be really helpful knowing that they've added a whole new set of cards that you'd see out of nowhere. Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on them doing a Magic the Gathering Arena exclusive cards and not have it in paper and standard though?
It just shows what they really want to push. That they want Arena to be their premier platform, I guess. But because paper obviously can't be played right now, we're very successfully all around the world. So
correct.
Well, and that brings me into a question that I have for both of you. as people begin to transition back into their normal lives, I mean, not right now, but when it starts to happen and people start being able to play paper more often again, where from that point forward do you believe that Arena will go? Sims, I'd like you to answer first.
I think it's still going to be one of the more popular. I still think it's just gained such a follower base. It has such a high active user, and people are just kind of used to it. It's cheaper, and but I think I don't know. I still think people want to go play paper. They'll do both, but I still believe paper is a different experience that is like a social thing that people enjoy. Your friends are there. You just can't get that on Arena very much. A Discord server is not the same as playing with your friends, and people love. Like they love that commander, you know. I don't know anything about it, but I know people love it. And apparently, it's almost impossible to do it successfully, you know, like with a. But I do believe Arena will still be like they'll try to push it. They'll probably over push it for professional formats, and it'll bug everybody. I don't like it. I actually absolutely hate it for professional formats. I think it gives way too much RNG to the game. I think there's just way too much computer. Thing.
I'd like to go
I
deeper on
I just
that. I'd like to
find
go
I
deeper.
find I find that so just watching a professional event from paper to the other way around, I just see these people draw so much worse than I've ever seen them draw. Like it just I feel like shuffling is a skill that some of these pro players they just know exactly when their deck's gonna be even,
Hold
and they
on.
just shuffle it because they
Hold
do it the
on.
same way.
Hold on.
Shuffling is a skill. There's a lot of paper skills.
Hold on. This is where I'm going to disagree with you. Okay. Now, me and you both have played millions of games. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. When you sit down and you draw a seven card hand, and you know the odds just as much as I do, if not even better, how many times have you gotten a hand where it's all lands? A whole bunch, right? How many times have you gotten one where it wasn't a land? A whole bunch. You know, I mean, it's really how you build your deck.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said, and I'll keep reiterating this because this is how my brain works, is computers, the shuffler on Arena is completely randomized, and our brains just can't comprehend that.
Yeah, I guess it's
I don't think it's
true.
any different random than anything else.
No, it is because with paper, we're using our hands. We don't know for certain. We don't know for certain that it's truly randomized because when you put your original hand back into the deck and you shuffle it back in, it's not truly randomized. The computer can actually use its statistical probabilities to put each card in a truly random spot. We can't do that as
I also
humans.
think a lot of the complaints about the shuffler do come from best of one because it's not the same.
Yes.
Yeah, best
Now,
of one is different.
okay, so
It's
we
very
all
different.
three agree on that. The shuffler
But
for the
I
best of
just find
and
sorry.
I want to let the listeners know that we all three agree that the shuffler on the best of one is not the same as the shuffler on the best of three. But let's
It's
dissect that if
abusable.
you guys may for just 1 second. Hold on. The thing about it is, the reason why we're saying the shuffler is different is when you do a best of one, what the program there in Magic the Gathering Arena is doing, and it's already been in a press release on this, so it's not like this is big news. It does a best of, it shuffles your deck, gives you a hand that you're not seeing, then the computer does it again that you're not seeing, and gives you the best hand that the computer thinks would be better for you. Am I saying that right, guys?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on behind the scenes. It's happening quick, but you're not seeing it. You're going to get what the computer thinks is the best hand out of those two, is what we're saying. Okay.
Yep.
And before we go on to page four, one last thing with Magic the Gathering Arena is don't forget, listeners, that Zendikar has a code, play Zendikar. So just like you did last time with the last set, you get three packs for free. And yes, I said the F word, free. Play Zendikar. Type that code in the promo section. Play Zendikar. Moving on to page five. Card of the week. Matt, I believe you got card of the week. What do we got, buddy?
Yes, I do. We have Kozilek, Butcher of Truth.
Seriously?
And yeah, why not? He's fun. Or she. I don't know. They're old Eldrazi Titans.
What's the picture look like? Isn't there only like one picture of that one? So before it gets an alter art or something?
Well, there's the Rise of the Eldrazi, there's the Modern Masters, and then there's Ultimate Masters.
There's a different artwork in one of those three?
Let me check.
I think they're all the same.
Is it all the same? You might be right.
I think they're all the same. I mean,
yeah, they are all the same.
It's not really that
I'm not used to that.
It's not that old of a card to me, you know.
Yeah.
So
do what? Yeah, it's a legendary. Yeah, it's a legendary creature Eldrazi for 10 colorless. It's when you cast this spell, draw 4 cards, okay? And it has a thing called Annihilator 4. For those of you who don't know, Annihilator is whenever this creature attacks, defending player sacrifices that many permanents. So whenever Kozlik attacks, your opponent sacks 4 permanents, and they get to choose, but 4 really does annihilate the board. And when Kozlik is put into a graveyard from anywhere, its owner shuffles the graveyard into their library. So then you get another chance to have Kozlik. And it's a 12-12, so it's a very, very powerful card if you're able to, you know, it's very often used in green stompy.
Anybody got experience with that card? I did. Anybody got experiences with that card? They want to talk about? No?
You know, I actually missed that whole time. I quit Magic for a while, and I missed really? That whole era. I've heard nothing but complaints and people, except for people that played that stuff and loved it.
Yeah.
But, oh, I loved
I heard
it.
The, I heard I those love, things were just I love OP. The old Yossi. I heard they're really fun to play, but they're just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're super fun to play. The people who complain about them just weren't the ones playing with Eldrazi.
Yeah, I feel like at that point in time, you've just been running them, and they're probably pretty cool, and they looked like insane. They cost a lot of. They're like the biggest creatures I've ever seen, too. So they're like, from a little kid standpoint, you love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest,
but they're playable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Playable. They dominated the whole format, if I remember correctly. If
in any said. Color, too, in any color, because they're all colorless.
Yeah. So they're just, oh yeah, because I played one game of Modern at my friend's house. He had like an Eldrazi Tron deck, and it was like, wow, this is insane. I'm casting these giant spells really, really quick.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I remember playing Mono Blue. It hurt for a while because I was doing my mill thing, and then, as you say, even the Kozilek, the Butcher, right here, he would come back and shuffle your into your graveyard, your library, and shenanigans. Emrakul of the Aeon Torrents did the same thing, I believe. But the mono blue deck, I had to change it because of the rise of Eldrazi. And then later on, they came out with Shards of Alara and Conflux and all that, too. And it even hurt because they were still legal, the Eldrazi. I had to change to blue-white control because of the Eldrazi. Mm-hmm. And you had to get away from mill. So, yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, I didn't join them. I just built a blue-white control deck because of the meta, you know. Hey, Sims, in case there's anybody out there that's listening right now, and they've never heard of you before, do you want to explain a little bit about yourself and maybe how they can get a hold of you? Or,
Yeah. Hi, my name is Sims. I've been playing Magic for well over like 15 years now. I stream on Facebook and Twitch. I actually probably was one of the first people to stream to Facebook. I really don't have much else to say. I went to high school with Shanhar.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's famous.
Yeah, he's a good player. When he first started playing, I actually was there for his first real Magic tournament ever, and it was a Vintage tournament. And we it was during Ravnica, so there's a card called Golgari Rotworm, which is like a common, and he was playing.
Yeah.
So I seen him with a play a Dark Reach for one.
No, I think it was uncommon. Wasn't it the one that was like +2/+2 when you did something?
There was a 5-mana for a 5/4 sack a creature, they lose a life.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I was playing Vintage and I looked on right.
Yeah.
I heard Dark Ritual into Golgari Rotworm.
Yep.
I'm like, what? And I'm playing Oath of Druids and I get matched up against him and I'm like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm gonna play against him. Like, I lose my first round. I play against him. We're both 0-1. And like, I felt so bad for the kid because he's playing a deck that he made like kitchen table at home. Wow. And he went to a tournament. Not only did he go to a tournament, it was a Vintage Proxy 10 tournament for a mock. So people had, he's playing stacks. Someone beat him turn one and he didn't even know that it was possible in Magic.
Yeah.
Guy just storms off. He goes like, what is going on? But it's really interesting for battling because the person who won that tournament was Luis. LSV was a Vintage like stud out here. He just went, him and his crew would go around to every Vintage tournament and just accumulate pieces of power by winning them all the tournaments.
Wow. Yeah, I've reached out to Luis. He said he's going to be busy for like a whole year. That's when I got a hold of him like 6 months ago. So in about 6 more months, I'll ask him if he's able to get on the podcast. But
yeah, he's a busy guy.
He is, man. He is. You know, we have like a question, you know, like, you know, we have 2 or 3 questions for him and stuff like that. But yeah, he's one of the 1%. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. But I always thought I thought that Paul Chiam was a little bit better, but he just should never quit playing. But he was I call him the big Asian because I was a little Asian. He's big Asian. So because he was they both went to college together. And so I'm Asian too, so it's fine. They went to college together. They're roommates. And so I always thought Paul had the greatest play of Magic that I've ever seen in my life. To this day, I still believe it's the greatest Magic play I've ever seen. Remember, you guys know what Pulse the Forge did? You didn't remember that it does the...
Yeah, Pulse the Forge. I've got it in my cube. Yeah.
So his opponent was at 7.
Buyback, and right?
Paul,
buyback
Paul, or something? If you were at less life,
yeah,
you got it back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Paul's opponent was at 7. All Paul had was a Shrapnel Blast, but a bunch of mana. Paul had like 5 life or something. So he mana burned down to 2. He mana burned down to a number that looked like he's trying to get his pulse back that he didn't even have. And the guy mana burned 2 to go down with him and he just shrapnel blast him for the 5. And to this day, I'm like, that's the greatest Magic play I've ever seen because I just don't believe I could ever have thought about that. Yeah. I'm going to play a card that I'm going to act like he, I mean, the mana burn play into that card was like a play in itself, but just the fact that he got his opponent to get into lethal from a shrapnel and the guy didn't even think about that. But like, oh man, that was just the greatest Magic play I've ever seen in my life. Well, to this day.
That makes me think about mana burn, you know, where you took damage for the unspent mana. You remember?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yep.
Back in the day, guys.
I hate that rule.
It was a thing. Man.
I hate it. I lost it one time. I just forgot I had it.
Yeah. Yeah. Little segment called Movers and Shakers. I wrote down some cards here. So the top 4 cards this week, none of them went down, but these all 4 went up. And we want to talk about number 4 being Savannah, the land, at $260.72, which has gone up 13.95%, which, by the way, is an all-time high right now.
Yep.
Vampire Tutor sitting at $138.95. is up 13.74%, which is an all-time high and still climbing. Number 2 would be Knowledge Exploitation at $15.99, up 310%. And last but not least, I want to start with what percentage is up. This one is up, number 1, guys, number 1, is up 1,430% at $6.12. Recross the Paths, an all-time high. And those
what?
Are
the... What is that?
Yeah, Recross the Paths. Let's look that one up, Matt. Recross
the Paths. I'm doing that right now.
Yeah.
I'm ahead of the game.
What do we got here? I think that's a green card, if I remember.
Oh, correctly. My God. I remember this card. So I bought my best friend like 20 of these back in the day.
I might have these.
Yeah, it's up 1,430%. Still climbing, by the way. Sitting
it's
right
a
now.
Great card, too.
Yes.
What, did people just find out it was good in, like, Commander?
Well, it's 2 colorless green. It's reveal cards from the top of your library to reveal a land card. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order, and then you can clash with an opponent. If you win, return Recross the Paths to its owner's hand. For those people who don't know what clashing with your opponent is each clashing player reveals the top card of their library, then puts that card on the top or bottom. The player wins if their card had a higher converted mana cost. It's a little confusing, but it's a good card.
Oh, yeah, they just keep playing it.
Yeah, you can just keep playing it over and over.
This saw literally no play in Standard. No clash really did.
Yeah, no, but now this...
Yeah.
Definitely see this being like something popular in EDH.
And like a combo deck, because you can mill your old deck if you don't have many land.
What's the latest?
Well, if you do that,
what's the latest printing of this card? What's the latest printing?
What's in the bottom? Never mind. A Morning Tide. It's just one printing.
That's Modern Legal. That's Modern Legal too.
Well, yeah, playing.
You don't know your deck though. It goes in your graveyard, but it goes into your library. But
yeah, wow, it doesn't matter your deck, sadly. But I mean, there's things you can do that with Uro if y'all want to play Modern with it. But
the land doesn't come into play tapped either. Any land untapped. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's until you reveal a land card.
You always get the land.
Out there. who want to play Uro in Modern and haven't found a way yet, this might be your way in, buddy.
PulseCon started yesterday, which was September the 18th. And if you guys aren't familiar with PulseCon is, Hasbro holds a convention, and it's called PulseCon. And this year, they teamed up with Sci-Fi, the cable channel. And I'm trying to find the information on it, but we wanted to give an update. I just don't have the page open that I had earlier. Everybody can go over to HasbroPulse.com for more details. I'm going to type that in and make sure real quick before I put my foot in my mouth. .com and see what comes up. Yes. Okay. So yeah, they can go to HasbroPulse.com to find out more details. I just know that it's still going on and it kicked off yesterday. We reported on it last week too, Matt.
Yeah.
And last but not least, what I wanted to talk about was we shared some things over on our Facebook group. This is for Magic the Gathering Arena, and it's more or less catered toward the beginning players and also the intermediate players out there that didn't know you can do these things on Magic the Gathering Arena. Things like shortcuts and hidden hotkeys. You know, like for instance, Matt, did you know you can type in QQ and tap all your lands for mana? Did you know that?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I've been playing Arena for a couple months. I didn't know that. But yeah, if you guys go over to the Cryptic Commander Facebook group and check out the links we just shared, there's not only that, but we've got how Magic the Gathering Arena duplication protection works, Arena Beginner's Guide, covering the basics, free-to-play guides, quest lists, arena codes and free stuff, a whole lot more. You guys go check it out. And that's all I had to talk about, unless you guys had anything you want to talk about today.
No, I'm good. Sims, you good?
I'm good to go.
The Sims, I
really... Oh, also,
oh, go ahead.
Just one thing. Yeah. Those flip land cards, they're good. They're real good. Those land things, the boat lands are really good too. Just through the day and just watching the decks, they make aggro decks so consistent. You can play like 16 land in a red deck now. And so once you just run out of spells, once you get your land, you just have nothing but spells, and it's just it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, and the value of them, as people realize the actual value of the card, the pricing of it is going to go up in time too. And you can only get 3 to 4 of them per box of Zendikar. So that's another thing, right? Those flip lands, I think with that Clash card too, you know, remember how it searches for any land? That may be one of the reasons that the price of that card went up. If you can get multiple of them out on the same turn, then it's basically just having a dual land, but then you can't have two different lands and tap for two different mana.
Right.
It's But I'm talking about also the bolt lands too.
Really, oh, the spell ones too.
Yeah, those ones are just dominating aggro. Like they're just so efficient. They just allow decks to just run on spells.
You don't want to use it for a land, but you use it for a land if you have to. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. And then once at the end of the game, when you have your land with aggro, when you need 3 to 4, every time you would draw a land, because you only have like 16 land in your deck, and that's when you realize, like, oh, I'm just drawing heat. Like, that's when I was playing a red aggro deck earlier before I played in the tournament, just kind of seeing, I was like, wow, like these lands really just, because just instead of land, when at the end of the game, because I took out basic land for them. Because I was like, if I really need the land, I'll take the 3 damage, because normally if you're playing red deck, wins the 3 damage is a moot point to yourself, because you're trying to do damage to them. So if you're on the defensive, you're already at a bad point. So I think that I realize they're just better than mountains. Like you just play 4 of them. I played 2 and then just started going up, and I started looking at other lists, and like pretty much all the pros are putting 4 of them in their decks. Just if you're playing any mono or even a duo color deck, you can fit them in, because in aggro, especially, it just makes them so much more. They just have a lot more answers versus control, because they just don't run out of spells.
There's a man super land. Durable. There's a man land that's standard and legal right now. You know, the one where it's +2/+2.
I like that one.
Yeah, I like it too. Somebody was joking with me earlier. That's the next card to get banned. I don't know. I really don't know, because it doesn't have trample. You can give it trample.
I've never seen a land get banned.
9 meters.
Oh, so the death and line. Never mind.
I was just listening to it. I didn't really remark on it, you know. But yeah, I was playing with that, and the thing is too, there's a question I have for you then. How many lands convert to sorcery's instance then?
So it looks like if you're gonna do it, just one for one it in red, at least mono red, those mono red aggro decks, they just one for one to these guys were playing 18, 16 land total in their deck, right. And they're playing 6 to 7 or 8. Sometimes one guy's playing 12 flip spells.
And that's what I'm saying, though. How many? So if you're playing mono red, how many flip lands to spells are there in the set?
There's only 8 you could really use, I think, that are like valuable, which would be the one mana one that does a damage and to it could exile, and then the mythic one. So all the other ones are pretty bad. You're never gonna cast a 6/5 for 6 in standard.
So you're saying there's a lot of these lands that turn into spells. There's a lot of them in this set.
Yeah, and they're a little. Yeah. They make decks very consistent. They're kind of broken.
Too much. Yeah, I didn't look at the set too much. Okay.
Yeah, wow. People underestimate the power of stuff that's just better than a land because it doesn't take this part of a spell. Yeah. So it makes these decks so consistent. And they're like, oh, wow, I drew my land.
I need to go look at these Zendikar Rising spoilers.
They're crazy. I watched these decks today, and some of the interactions, Scoot Swarm on Omnath is the biggest headache. I don't even want to watch that. But the rogues are really cool. The ninja guy, the rogue, the steel stuff. The format's really good besides the Omnath mirror match because it's just a headache to watch because you don't want to even try to figure out what's going on.
Okay, so yeah, I'm looking at just the white cards right here. A lot of them got that flip symbol. So when they got that flip symbol, yep, that one looks like a land. That one looks like a land. Okay, I see what you're saying. There's a lot of them that turn into a land.
And a lot of them are just decent spells. So like they're just like, oh, this is playable. And so it's like, well, I'll just take a mountain out. Because especially when you get past turn 2 and 3, because there's so many now. They made a lot of red 1-drops in this set.
See, I was focusing when I did my last 2 drafts. I did a premier draft and a traditional draft. I was focusing on the party mechanic. So I probably
landfall thing is kind of busted.
So I should focus on landfall or these lands instead.
At least constructive, but at least landfall would be pretty fun if you got the right cards. But I think party mechanics right is really good and limited, though.
It is, because that's the ones I've been doing. I didn't really get too far, man.
I think it's I don't know. I think it just depends on the. I just kept dying that black 2/1 guy too. I think that party guy is really good. I mean. I guess I didn't really play enough limits to really have a good opinion on the format, but it seemed pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But landfall might be the way.
Oh, it's interesting. It's one of the most interesting drafts I've had in a long time.
What is going on?
When I do the draft on the Magic the Gathering Arena, it's got that timer on it, right? At least both drafts I did. I did a premier one, a premium one, and then I did a traditional, and there's a timer on there. And when I'm real life, I'm going to have more time, I think. But I just got stuck with whatever. I don't know what, it's like, I don't know what to pick. And then boom, I picked one, it's like, oh man, to me, it's one of the most interesting drafts I've had in a long time. I play a lot of draft.
Yeah. I kind of stared at my deck. I was like, what am I doing? I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, guys. Sims, I really appreciate you coming on today's episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Matt, is there anything you wanted to conclude? Cause I was getting ready to let everybody go.
No, I'm Gucci.
He's Gucci. That's what the kids are saying nowadays. All right, guys.
Have a good night, guys.
Until next time, keep spell slinging.